Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy ground. Where do we find holy ground? We believe it's not that complicated. We believe that holy ground is wherever and whenever we gather in the name of Jesus, and wherever and whenever he promises to be present among us. For we pastors, this understanding of holy ground is so very clear and evident as we fulfill our daily calling among God's people, the congregation, the church. And so it has been for me over these past 31 years as a pastor, the last six or so of them with you, brothers and sisters at Zion. We have trod already, you and I, much holy ground together. You have invited me in. You have trusted me to stand with you there. And a pastor that has any perspective at all feels very small and serves the congregation with a profound, humble heart and a deep spirit of gratitude at the privilege given us each day in Jesus' name. I am humbled and thankful for the holy ground we have shared, Zion. Holy ground is wherever Jesus meets us, and Jesus has met us. On Pentecost Sunday, Jesus transformed a fear-filled room into holy ground simply by showing up. The disciples were lost. They were petrified. They were huddled away in the dark, hoping that no one would notice them, I suppose, until Jesus barged into the room and spoke these mighty words. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed him the scars on his hands and side and repeated himself, "Peace be with you." Peace. There had not been much of that these last few days in Jerusalem. Peace. Jesus spoke the word only as he could. Only he could get away with such words. He knew what had happened, and he knew how dark and uncertain the future must have seemed. He knew how terrified these fugitives, former disciples of his, were. And yet he shows up, and twice he says, "Peace be with you." Peace. It certainly wasn't going to come because the future looked rosy. And peace wasn't going to come because the 12 disciples had some inside info that there was going to be an easy ride for them. Peace. Peace could only come because Jesus showed up and he promised it. Jesus shows up and everything changes. The ground is no longer shaky. It is now holy ground. Holy. Well, what had changed then exactly? The world outside hadn't changed. The enemies were still out there. They were still looking for those followers of Jesus. The future was as uncertain as ever. And the disciples still didn't know what to do next, where to go next, or how their journey would end. What has changed then? What has changed? Jesus showed up. He showed up and he stood on the ground with them. He spoke peace. He spoke peace to them. He breathed on them with the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the ground stopped shaking. And now the ground was something else entirely. The ground became holy. They could stand. They could walk. For they knew the simple truth that Jesus was risen. Jesus was with them. Jesus would walk with them. And all ground from now on would be holy. Thanks be to God. And so, brothers and sisters, if Pentecost every year, if the festival of Pentecost brings you one message, if the message of Pentecost for the church is any message at all, it is this. All ground is now holy. In baptism, you receive the same gift that those 12 disciples did. The Holy Spirit has come to you. And there is no ground that you can stand on. There are no steps that you take where the risen Christ will not stand with you. This does not mean, of course, that there won't be any darkness, that there won't be darkness near you, that there will be no struggle or hardship or sadness or sorrow or pain or trial. Of course, there will be. The ground will not always be easy, and it will not always be firm, but the ground will be holy because Jesus stands with you there. He broke into that upper room, and he dared to proclaim peace, and he will break into any darkness that awaits, and he will proclaim that same peace to you. Only Jesus' strong word changes the ground on which we stand. Only Jesus' strong word changes the ground on which we stand. Only his mighty word can accomplish this. Only his proclamation, "Peace be with you," counts. This is what makes our ground holy, wherever and whenever and forever. In that house with the doors locked tightly, Jesus appeared to the 12 disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And then he grabbed their hands and he pushed them into his side and his palms and made it very clear that he was truly risen in body and in the flesh. And they rejoiced. Yes, they rejoiced. But they weren't able to sit and sip their tea and reflect about what all of this meant. There was no time for that. There was no time for debriefing or small group discussion about the significance of the wonderful news of resurrection. Because right away, Jesus repeated himself. He says, "Peace be with you." But then he adds instructions. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Meaning, get out there. Get out there. And one could imagine at that moment a drastic change of mood in the disciples' hearts. We can't go out there. We can imagine the internal conversations swirling around in their heads at this point, and how their joy could so quickly turn to a sense of deep dread. We can't go out there. Send us? Send us? Send us now? Send us where? You realize, Lord, that we've got the doors locked in this house for a reason, because the same people who crucified you will crucify us in a heartbeat if they find us. And besides, Lord, you're here now. You've risen from the dead. Shouldn't you be in charge now? Maybe you should be out there ahead of us, leading the charge. Shouldn't you be setting up your kingdom? Isn't this the end we've been hoping for? No one can doubt. You see, Lord, the ball is in your court. No one can argue now that you are the Messiah, because you've got the proof. You're risen. What do you need us for? You're the Messiah, not us. Send us. Why? And Jesus, knowing all of our hearts, anticipates all of this anxiety. But again, he gives no explanations or even words of encouragement. He doesn't even console or comfort or calm anyone down. We expect the unexpected from Jesus, I say. What does he do? He breathes on them. He breathes on them. And then he announces something with this breath. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And it is as if Jesus is saying, "You have now what you need, disciples of mine. Now you do, for I have breathed on you. My Spirit leads the way. That's where your authority lies. That's where your power lies. I am with you always. But now, go." And go they did. They went from behind that locked room out into a hostile and less than welcoming world. They went out into unholy places. But the Holy Spirit led the way, and the Spirit of risen Jesus went before them, and the ground they stepped on then became holy. Christ was present, you see. Miracles performed, the dead were raised, the lame walked, the blind could see. But more than all of this, the good news was preached and heard. And the Holy Spirit breathed over and over and over again, far and wide. and the seed of the church was planted and sprouted and bore great fruit. We know what unholy ground is, don't we? That was the world the disciples were hiding from that day. It was a hostile, unwelcoming, and broken world. They did not want to go there. But Jesus came and breathed on them and gave the Holy Spirit and promised to lead the way. And that's when the unholy ground became holy. Unholy ground. Unholy ground. There was no place unholier, no ground unholier than that awful hill outside of Jerusalem. It was a garbage dump, they say. A pile of filth on which was planted an awful cross on which Jesus was nailed and died. No ground gets unholier than that. And lo and behold, this unholy ground was the one place where God's love was made most clear, most real, most true. We saw the Son die on this unholy ground. And lo and behold, it became holy ground in this very dying. For here is where we saw the love of God become most real, most true, most clear for us. And you see, friends, the cross now makes all ground holy. Unholy ground. There's still plenty of that kind of ground out there, or so we think. We, you and me, disciples, all of us, we're still the sent out ones. And we're still timid, and we're still afraid, and we still feel unequipped and unprepared and frightened. Where do you want us to go, Lord? And what will we say? And what will we do when we get there? You're sending us into the places and the circumstances where darkness reigns, where there can be no light found. The palliative care ward, the cancer clinic, the prison cell, the refugee camp, the detox center, the homeless shelter, the broken home, the war zone, and on and on and on and on, unholy ground wherever we turn. But remember resurrection, because no ground is profane where Christ is present. All ground is holy where Jesus Christ stands, because the cross makes all ground holy. For in the darkness, in the depths, in the places of despair, God has acted. God has loved supremely. The cross teaches us that very lesson every time we look at it. And so we do go. Where darkness is, we bear light. We bear the love of the risen Jesus and the story that goes with it. And we pray each and every time we go, Jesus, breathe on us again. Jesus, breathe on us. Send your Holy Spirit ahead of us. Prepare the way. And give us your peace as you promised once and promise always. All ground is holy where the cross is planted. All ground is holy where Jesus Christ stands. Stand with us, Lord, as we go. Taking with us the name you gave us, make us lights for the world. Jesus Christ goes with you. Jesus Christ goes with me. Jesus Christ goes with us. And that's why we go. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.